Greetings, church family. This is Pastor George once again filling in for Pastor Rock as he was away last week with the rest of our leadership team attending the annual 900-plus meeting. That, by the way, is a gathering of larger CMA church leaders who get together each year just to share what's up with each other and to learn from one another. That being said, Lord willing, Rock will be returning to you next week. In the meantime, this week, number 53, we find ourselves continuing in Matthew's Gospel, specifically chapters 19 through 26. Now, if you happen to use a red-letter Bible like I do, it was easy to recognize at a glance that Jesus does most of the conversing in these 8 chapters. And that's a good thing, especially when searching for a transformational principle. On the other hand, it's kind of like a restaurant menu with too many options, and you're not sure what to choose or which direction to go. But as I read through these chapters, something jumped out at me that I haven't directly addressed before. And it's a transformational principle that's always accompanied in Scripture with a great sense of urgency. And that is the need for us as followers of Jesus to be ready, watching, and eagerly anticipating His imminent return, whether that occurs by way of a rapture or by way of His second coming. Now, I obviously don't know when Jesus will return or when He may rapture His church. Nobody does. But what I do know is this. When either of those two events do occur, life will change for each of us as we currently know it. In fact, the entire world will change as we currently know it. And that's because when Jesus returns, it will not in any way resemble or mirror His first arrival by any stretch of the imagination. The first time He came, He kind of slid in under the radar. He arrived quietly without any fanfare except for a brief angelic announcement to some poor shepherds on a hillside. But not so the next time. In fact, while describing the next time, Matthew wrote this in verse 30 of chapter 24. "The sign that the Son of Man is coming will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among all the peoples of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." And so, as I read through chapters 24 and 25 this week, it became obvious to me that Jesus is trying to tell us something. And we'd be wise to not only pay attention and take notice, but also to respond and act upon what we hear with all determination and diligence. Because in these series of passages, Jesus seems to go out of His way to repeatedly warn us to be ready and thoroughly prepared for that day when it does finally arrive. For example, in verse 25, Jesus said, "See, I have warned you about this ahead of time." As if to say He's providing us with advanced warning and insider information in order to convince us to be ready for the day He returns. Jesus goes on to say in verse 42, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming." In verse 44, "You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected." In verse 13 of chapter 25, "So you too must keep watch, for you do not know the day or hour of my return." And if those warnings weren't enough, Jesus didn't stop there because He follows those up with a parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids, a parable that describes two different outcomes associated with two different types of people, those who will be ready and watching when He returns and those who will not. Now, let me ask you, do you think He's trying to get our attention? Do you think what He's saying is important? And if so, why is it important for us believers to be ready and to keep watch? And what happens if we aren't and we don't? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to find out. I'd much prefer to take Jesus at His word, that what He's telling us is not trivial or optional, but necessary. Look, here's the simple point in all of this. Jesus is returning soon. And according to him, it's in our best interest to be ready, prepared, and looking for him when he does. That means we should be living every day like there's no tomorrow, not like the people of this world Jesus described in verses 37 and 39 of chapter 24, when he said, "When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the floods came and swept them all away. This is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes." You see, the unbelieving world is blind to God's truth because the other god of this age, Satan, has blinded their minds, 2 Corinthians 4:4. But we have no excuse for being blind or lulled into sleep by the world and all of its deceptions and passions. We need to be wide awake and ready for his coming because, according to Jesus, being ready and watchful matters. We must remain alert and on mission in these last days. That means if there's some business you need to take care of that you've been putting off, let this be a wake-up call. Are there any accounts you need to settle? Are there any people you need to forgive? Are there relationships that need restored? Do you need to tell someone that you're sorry or that you love them? Do you need to invite that neighbor over for dinner? Is there anything you need to repent of and turn away from in your life? Is there any unconfessed sin or secrets polluting your soul? Are you living in willful disobedience to his word or his voice? Are you entertaining any idols that you need to put to death? If you answered yes to any of those questions, it's not too late to respond. But don't delay. Write them down and bring each of them under submission to King Jesus. It may not be easy, and it may require humility, but I can guarantee you this. If you do it, you'll never regret it, because God gives grace to the humble. And one final question. Is your heart fully committed to Jesus? And you must be brutally honest with yourself when answering this. And if you're not sure, examine the trail of evidence you leave behind in your life. Where do you spend your time and your talents and your treasures? Those are usually pretty good indicators of the things you value. And if you don't like what you see, repent and make changes with God's help while there's still time. I'll end with this. As I was praying through the scriptures this morning, I came across this passage from 2 Peter chapter 3 that emphasizes the very point Jesus made in our reading this week. It goes as follows. "But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment." And here's the point. Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what godly and holy lives you should live, looking forward to the day of God and even hurrying it along. Because on that day, he will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth, as he promised, a world filled with God's righteousness. And so, dear friends, while you are waiting for these things to happen, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. This, my friends, is how we prepare for the day of his arrival. This is how we trim our lamps full of oil, by living holy and godly lives and looking forward to his return, and making every effort to live peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in his sight. This is Pastor George. Have a great day serving the King.